Frank Goldsmith was only 9 years old at the time when he and his mother climbed into the last of the lifeboats on the Titanic. It was also the last time that he saw his father. And because Frank was quite young at the time, he really had no idea what was going to be happening to his father. And in fact, even some on the Carpathia had told him, well, maybe your dad survived, maybe he was rescued. And it actually took Frank a number of years before it truly hit him that his father was never coming home again. Once he arrived in America, his mom and he settled in Detroit. They lived near Tiger Stadium, and he had mentioned that every time that the crowd cheered when one of the players hit a home run, the sound reminded him so much of what went on that particular night, of the screams of the passengers, that he could never, ever set foot in that stadium. And in fact, he never took his own children there either. For many years, he was gave many lectures about that awful night in April of 1912. And then when he died at age 79, his request was that his ashes be scattered at the very spot near where his father died so many years before. Now, one thing that Frank did in his talks over the years was that he would talk about how hard his father worked and saved for the family. And he was actually coming to Detroit to work in the new automotive industry that was beginning to better his family. In fact, Frank brought his tools that were in the hold of the Titanic, but they also went down with the ship. Now, we often hear of stories such as that, tragic stories, and all of us, though, thankfully have the hope of the coming resurrection of the dead, both Frank and his father, and all those who were on the Titanic are awaiting the resurrection, in which they'll be together and be taught the truth of God. Today, as we honor our children and their achievements, and as Father's Day is next Sunday, it would be good to be reminded of what God instructed all of us to do over here in Deuteronomy 5, verse 16. Let's look at Deuteronomy 5 and verse 16. Honor your father and your mother, as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be long, that it may be well with you in the land which your Lord God is giving you. Now, this command actually bridges the commands of love toward God in the first four commandments and love toward our fellow man in the last of the commandments. So we're to honor God as our spiritual father as well, as we honor our own parents. And there are blessings, as it says, that your days may be long and that it will go well with us. So the title of the sermon today is Honoring God and Our Parents. Now, the Hebrew word for honor comes from a word in Hebrew, kebed, which basically means weighty or heavy. In other words, our respect should be weighty and not so much as lightweight, but of value, of substance. Notice where this word is used in a couple of places. Let's look at Proverbs 3, verse 9. Proverbs 3 and verse 9. So not only do we find it, this word in the command, we also see it here in verse 9. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. So it's the same word toward God. As we saw earlier, we're to honor our parents. Well, we're to honor God in the same way, in a weighty manner, in this case, with our increase, with our possessions. He comes first in priority. And then look at Malachi 1. Malachi 1. Or as some pronounce the word Malachi. But I think it's Malachi. And it's the last book in the Old Testament. Malachi 1, verse 6. A son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I am the father, where is my honor? If I am a master, where is my reverence? Says the Lord of hosts. To you priests who despise my name, yet you say, in what way have we despised your name? It's really an indictment here toward Israel and toward the priests at the time. And so here we find that as we honor our parents, we are also to honor God and not neglect God. And we won't turn there, but there is a scripture in the Psalm 68, verse 5, that says that God is our Father, and especially to the fatherless. He's the Father to the fatherless, but He's also our Father. So that's the Hebrew word for honor, meaning weighty or heavy of substance. Now the Greek word for honor is timeo. Timeo means to prize, to really fix a high value upon. Comes from a word that means to esteem. Phrases such as most precious or highly valued or very costly defines that particular word. Let's look at one example here in John 8. John 8, and we see where this word is used in this context. He's talking to the Pharisees. Jesus answered and said to him, do we not say rightly that you are a Samaritan and have a demon? And Jesus answered, I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. Now the word here is, I honor my Father, is this Greek word, timeo, meaning I highly value my Father. My Father is most precious to me, most costly, having a great respect. And in other places, Jesus honors God as the only one who is good. Why do you call me good? Only one is good. Honor God. Honor God. So both in the Hebrew and in the Greek languages, the word for honor means weighty with substance, much respect, highly valued, highly honored. Now let's look at what the Apostle Paul had to say about this command over here in Ephesians 6. Let's look at Ephesians 6 and verse 1. Ephesians 6 and verse 1. We find a little bit more explained than what we just see in Deuteronomy. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. So what Paul begins to say here is that children are to obey their parents in the Lord. Now, parents in the Lord will not be asking their children to do something wrong or to do something that would hurt them, like to you go out and steal or you go out and cheat. You know, you don't see that with parents in the Lord. They won't do that. And so, if your parents are in the Lord, you can trust that your parents aren't going to do something to hurt you or to harm you. And parents, this is telling us we shouldn't be asking our kids to do something that goes against God. So it's a very, very important statement here, for this is right. There are times that children may think, well, that rule's too strict or that rule's too harsh. But if there are no conflicts with God's law, then one should be obeying their parents in the Lord. That's what this particular scripture is emphasizing. Notice verse 4. You fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. So once again, you see in verse 1, and in verse 4 about the fact that it's the Lord, in the Lord, or of the Lord. It's a heavy responsibility. So not only are children to obey and have faith and trust that the parents aren't going to say something and demand something that is wrong, but parents have to be very careful not to provoke their children, not to provoke their children to wrath, such as verbal put-downs, such as, you're no good. You know, I don't even know why you're here. That type of thing will basically destroy a child's psyche, or you never considered them. So we got to be very careful. Too often, parents don't consider their children, where they're coming from or what they're thinking. And kids don't consider their parents, where they're coming from. See, because God requires that parents teach children in the Lord. And God requires children to obey the parents in the Lord. Let's go back to verse 2 and 3. Here we find this statement, it's the first commandment with promise. Honor your father and mother. It's the first commandment with promise. And here's the promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. So it'll be well with you. And there are benefits in doing this. Now, in the in Deuteronomy, it talks about live well or live long in the land. Here it talks about live long on the earth. So it wasn't just specified for that area of the promised land. This means in all places at all times. So even in our day and age, there is this promise. Honor our father and mother. It will be well with you. You may live long on the earth. So here you find God showing that there are some benefits. There are some rewards. Now, this particular law of obeying and honoring your parents was actually known prior to Exodus 20. There's one interesting story over here in Exodus 18. So prior to the Ten Commandments given, you see this honoring and respecting that here Moses had toward his own father-in-law. Exodus 18, verse 5. Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, came with his sons and his wife to Moses in the wilderness where he was encamped. And we see the story here. He said to Moses, I, your father-in-law, Jethro, am coming to you with your wife and her two sons with her. And Moses went out to his father-in-law, bowed down and kissed him. And they asked each other about their well-being. And they went into the tent. So there was a relationship here. There was a respect toward one another. You know, not, oh boy, my in-laws are coming now and what am I going to do? It wasn't that. There was a respect. Moses told his father-in-law all that the Lord had done to Pharaoh and to the Egyptians for Israel's sake and all the hardship that had come upon them on the way and how the Lord had delivered them. And then Jethro rejoiced for all the good which the Lord had done for Israel, whom he had delivered out of the land of the Egyptians. So there was this dialogue of respect. Then notice what we see Jethro seeing here in verse 13. It was so on the next day that Moses sat to judge the people. And the people stood before Moses from morning till evening in this long, long line to see Moses for a decision about this or that problem that these people were having. So when Moses' father-in-law saw that he had did for the people, he said, what is this thing that you're doing for the people? Why do you sit alone? Why do you alone sit and all the people stand before you from morning till evening? Moses said to his father-in-law, because the people come to me to inquire of God. They're asking me a question about this or that in their lives. Yeah, but you got this line from morning till night. and you're making these decisions all alone. Jethro offers his opinion on how this could be alleviated. He said in verse 17, the thing that you do is not good. Both you and these people who are with you will surely wear yourselves out. In other words, Moses, you're going to burn out. You do this more and you do this all the time. You're not going to have enough energy. You need help. For this thing is too much for you. You're not able to perform it for yourself. Listen to my counsel. Listen to my voice. I will give you counsel and God will be with you. So he's giving some advice. Moses is listening to his father-in-law, who, remember, hadn't been in Egypt. And so he's listening. So in verse 23, he says, if you do this thing and God commands you, then you will be able to endure and all this people will go to their place in peace. So Jethro also knew that his advice needed God's approval. And it would, you know, only if God, as it says here, if God so commands you. So even Jethro knew that you can't really do anything without God's involvement. So he was teaching something. He was giving advice to Moses as a father would teach something to his son. Admonition and training. So Moses must have asked God somewhere, because we find in verse 24, Moses heeded the voice of his father-in-law and did all that he said. Moses chose able men over out of all of Israel, made them heads over the people, rulers of thousands and of hundreds and fifties and tens. They judged the people at all times, but the hard cases they brought to Moses. They judged every small case themselves. Moses let his father-in-law depart, and he went his way to his own land. And that's the model that even the church follows, that, you know, the hard cases we bring to headquarters, and then even within local congregations, there are the local elders who help support and help with the pastor. And so here you find this advice was given. Moses must apparently have had gone to God and asked him what God thought of it, and you see what the end result is. So we see an example of that, of respect and honor, before you find the law listed in Exodus 20. Now, after Exodus 20, when the law was given, we also see an example of things that didn't go as well as they should have. 1 Samuel 2. Let's look at 1 Samuel 2. 1 Samuel 2 and in verse 12. 1 Samuel 2 at verse 12. The sons of Eli were corrupt. They did not know the Lord. Now, how is that possible? Eli's a priest. What do you mean they didn't know the Lord? What happened there? There was a break somewhere in the instruction. Or they may have known him but didn't follow what they were supposed to do. One or the other, they didn't heed their father Eli. Notice some of the things that they were doing. Eli was very old, verse 22, and he heard everything his sons did to all Israel, how they lay with the women who assembled at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. So they were fornicating. And he said to them, why do you do such things? I hear of your evil dealings from all the people. No, my sons, it is not a good report that I hear. You make the Lord's people transgress. Don't do this. Now, they're older. They're older sons. They're not listening to Eli. If one man sins against another, God will judge him. But if a man sins against the Lord, who will intercede for him? Nevertheless, they did not heed the voice of their father because the Lord desired to kill them. There's a reason why he was going to kill them. because of their disrespect, not only to Eli, but to God. They transgressed in the law of the offerings. And we find that in verse 15. Before they burned the fat, the priest's servant would come and say to the man who sacrificed, give meat for roasting to the priest, and he will take boiled meat from you, but raw. He will not take boiled meat from you, but raw. And if the man said to him, they should surely burn the fat first, then you shall take as much as your heart desires, he would then answer him, no, but you must give it now. And if not, I will take it by force. Therefore, the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord, for men abhorred the offering of the Lord. They didn't respect it, the order in which it was to be given. And here, the sons of Eli were all involved in that. Give me my portion first. So here was a disrespect toward Eli, and a disrespect as their father, and a disrespect toward God. Verse 29. Why do you kick at my sacrifice and my offering, which I commanded in my dwelling place, and honor your sons more than me? This is to Eli. To make yourselves fat with the best of the offerings of Israel, my people. Therefore, the Lord of God of Israel says, I said indeed that your house and the house of your father would walk before me forever. But now the Lord says, far be it from me, for those who honor me, I will honor. Those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed. So the problem was with both Eli and both of his sons. They disobeyed. And what Eli was doing was honoring them more than God. I'm sure we're all aware of the scripture that says we're to love God more than father, mother, and brother, and, you know, in other words, by priority. But here, that's what he was doing. He was establishing his children in place of God. And it should have been both Eli and his sons who were honoring God first. So you find that they had a problem here. So God gave a prophecy to Eli. Verse 34. Look at verse 34. Now this shall be the sign to you that will come upon your two sons, on Hophni and Phinehas. In one day they shall die, both of them. Then I will raise up for myself a faithful priest who will do according to all what is in my heart and in my mind. I will build him a sure house, and he'll walk before my anointed forever. And so here was the prophecy that his sons would die, and they did die in one day. And, of course, it was Samuel who would be the priest before God. And we know Samuel listened to God and followed God and had a great respect and honor toward God. God has always put a strong emphasis on obeying him as our father and obeying our parents. The law has some strong statements about obedience. Notice Deuteronomy 21, verse 18. Deuteronomy 21, verse 18. If a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and who, when they've chastened him, will not heed them, then his father and his mother will take hold of him and bring him to the elders of his city, to the gate of his city. And they shall say to the elders of his city, this son of ours is rebellious and stubborn. He will not obey our voice. He's a glutton and a drunkard. Then all the men of the city will stone him with stones to death. So you shall put away the evil from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. So rebelliousness was not to be tolerated in ancient Israel. Now, we don't stone people today. We don't do this. This was a national law at that particular time, which you wonder if that ever was fulfilled because of all the disrespect that was going on in the nation of Israel for all time. But there is a tough, there is a concept of tough love at times. You know, you got to be very careful in this day and age of how you discipline your children. I remember when I was a little kid, I don't fully remember this, but my mom told me that I ran out in the street as a little kid, and she grabbed me and pulled my pants down. Whacked. And a lady was standing by. Oh, how dare you do that to your child? You should never do that to your child. And my mom said, I'd rather have a child who lives and will not go out into the street again. I don't think I ever went out into the street again. I don't remember that particular thing, but, you know, I was told that a number of times, you know, that you got to obey your mom. This is what I did to you earlier and yada, yada. But anyway, that's what happened at that time. But let me tell you, though, in this day and age, we have parents who are enablers. They are allowing their rebellious children to continue their own destructive lifestyle. And there are books out on this subject, and it's called Tough Love. Tough Love. And that's tough to do because they are our children. We love our children. As one father said, he's my son. And he was embezzling funds and he's in jail and, you know, get him out. And he's my son. I have to do that. He's my son. And I can understand that. I can understand that. I think we all understand that. But they are our children and we don't want to see them suffering. And we want to do all we can to alleviate it. Sometimes tough love needs to come into play, and that's the principle that we find here. Not to stone, but to show some tough love. I'll give you an example. A single mom in the church was dealing with a very rebellious son. He was in his mid-teens, and he didn't know what to do. She didn't know what to do. She finally called the police. She was single. And the father wasn't around. Called the police, said, I need you to take him. I need you to arrest him and take him away. They did. They did. They took him away for 2 weeks to a detention center. He got a lot of kind of rules in the detention center. Well, during that incarceration, the boy learned quite a lot. Quite a lot in that 2 week period of time. And I noticed a change in him, even visiting him there and then afterwards. And when he was released, he rarely disrespected his mother after that experience. So sometimes tough love can work, sometimes it doesn't, but there is a principle that sometimes one has to enforce that for the sake of their children. Let's look at Deuteronomy 27, Deuteronomy 27, verse 14. Deuteronomy 27, verse 14. Deuteronomy 27, verse 14. And the Levite shall speak with a loud voice and say to the men of Israel, cursed is the one who makes a carved or molded image and an abomination to the Lord, the work of the hands of the craftsman, and set it in secret. And all the people shall answer and say, Amen, because that would be disrespectful to God. One must honor God. Verse 16. Cursed is the one who treats his father or his mother with contempt. And all the people shall say, Amen. A curse was pronounced on anyone who treated his mother or father with contempt. And the word there is one who dishonors without value. You know, the one with contempt is dishonoring one without having substance of value and dignity. So Jesus also gave some similar advice to the Pharisees, to grown children who were allowed by the traditions of the Jews to actually disobey and disrespect their parents. And that's found over here in Matthew 15. Let's look at Matthew 15. Matthew 15, verse 1. Then the scribes and the Pharisees who were from Jerusalem came to Jesus saying, why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? They don't wash their hands when they eat bread. They had the tradition of washing their hands all the way up to their elbows. It was a tradition type of thing you can't find in the Bible. And he said to them, why do you transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition? And notice the example that was given here. Notice what Jesus did. He brought out this commandment, the fifth commandment. God commanded, saying, honor your father and your mother, and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. And you see that also in the law. But you say, whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is a gift of God, to God. Then he need not honor his father or mother. Thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition. Hypocrites. Now, what were they doing here? The Pharisees had this tradition that a person could tell his parents, a person could relate to his parents that I have donated to the temple. And therefore, since I donated to the temple, a gift to the temple, that abrogates my responsibility of taking care of you. And in reality, what Christ is saying is that gift should have been given to your mom and dad to take care of your parents. But and this is to grown adults. So again, we have to ask ourselves, how are we as grown adults honoring our parents? Are we neglecting them? Are we thinking, well, I'm giving so much to the church already, I don't really need to take care of them? There was one time a member who came to me asked me to write out an assistance check from the church to his mother. And he said, here's what I'm going to do. I will donate the money to the church so that I can get a tax deduction. And therefore, if you send a check from the church to my mom, then I'll get the tax deduction for it. And you know what popped into my mind? Matthew 15. This is what was going on. Well, I'll give it to the temple, and the temple, the priest, could take care of mom and dad for me. I understood where the guy was coming from. I knew that, you know, it's nice to get all these tax deductions, but, should go directly to mom and dad. That is respect and honor toward the parents. So that was a modern day application of this particular situation here. Notice what the Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Timothy 5. 1 Timothy 5. Verse 3. 1 Timothy 5, verse 3. Honor widows who are really widows. If any widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show piety at home and to repay their parents, for this is good and acceptable before God. Any one of us in the church who have children or widows, we need to be taking care of them. That's our responsibility, to take care of their own. Let's look at verse 16. If any believing man or woman has widows, let them relieve them. Do not let the church be burdened, that it may relieve those who are really widows, those who don't have any family, you know, within the church. In other words, we have responsibilities to take care of our own parents, our own grandparents, those who are in need. And so we find this subject of honor starting in the home. It has to start with, of course, God, honoring our parents, and honoring our grandparents. I remember this as if it happened just a few, years ago, but I think I was about 3 or 4, and I was not really the most obedient little kid. I was quite stubborn. And my parents were having some difficulties with me, so they asked my Jewish grandpa to come by and give them some help in training their less than ideal son. So what happened was, and I remember it so clearly, my grandpa sat in this one chair across the room in the living room, and I was standing right here, and he gave me a bottle stopper, an old-fashioned bottle stopper. You stick in a pop bottle, that keep the fizz in. It's a bottle stopper. And he sat down at the other end, and he gave me this bottle stopper. And then he said, Johnny, give me the bottle stopper. And I wouldn't do it. So he got up out of the chair, whack, went back to the chair. Johnny, give me the bottle stopper. I wouldn't do it. This went on and on and on. And I'm starting to cry, and I'm going, Mommy, Mommy, save me. Because my parents are right here, and they're just, you got to listen to Grandpa. You got to listen to Grandpa. And it just, it was just one of those things that, you're glad that that's over with, But that's what they say. I think I finally got the point after a while. I was hurting, and I got the point after a while. And so when he said it that last time, I remember going over to him, and I gave it to him. And I remember he picked me up and put me on his lap, and he hugged me, and he says, Grandpa loves you. You just have to obey Grandpa. I never disrespected him ever. I don't think I ever did. I don't think I ever, maybe I did from with my parents, but it I never forgot that. It taught me something. So there was this respect that you learn in the house. Respect, honor that has to be learned. As our kids grow older, we need to continue to mention that respect needs to be given not only to our parents, grandparents, and God, but to other people as well. Notice Romans 12. Romans 12, verse 9. Let love be without hypocrisy. In other words, we're sincere. We're not being a hypocrite. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another. And there's that word again. Weighted heavily with deep respect. Deep respect. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in the spirit, serving the Lord. So this has to be taught. Has to be taught in an early age, and then when children grow up, which they do, and we're all, a lot of us are children that have grown up in the church, and we see where we are now, and we should be having preference toward one another, giving honor toward one another. So it has to be taught and applied. We can't just read it without applying these things. So these are good thoughts and good concepts to have. We need to apply these principles. So how can we do that in this day and age? How can we become, how can we honor as we should? Well, let me give you three very, very simplistic ways in how we could do this in simplest terms. Not simplistic, but simple terms. Number one, honor God. He has got to come first. His laws have to come first. We have to live our lives according to God's ways. His laws are faithful, and we should be faithfully keeping them. He is our Father. He deserves our full respect and full honor as our Father. Point number two is a very close second. Honor our parents and our children. And our children. Goes both ways. See, God wants families to have mutual love and respect toward one another. As we saw earlier, that children obey their parents in the Lord, where the children know that mom and dad are not going to ask me to do something that goes against God's will. And parents, I'm not going to ask my kids to go do something against God's will. There's this mutual respect. There's this concern and love. And that has to be in the home. So we honor God. We honor our family. And then third, which again is very close, honor others. Same respect. It has to start in the home. It has to be taught where we honor God, we honor our family, and as we love God and family, that should extend outward to others without hypocrisy. We must have compassion and respect. And so, in other words, we're to treat everyone with respect and honor, as God does for us, we need to do for others. Let's look at 1 Peter 2. 1 Peter 2. And let's look at verse 15. 1 Peter 2, verse 15. For this is the will of God. The will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, doing things bad, but as bondservants of God, and in that context, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. And it is a respect. And it doesn't matter who is in office. I mean, when this was written, or maybe a little afterward this was written, yeah, but there was a time when Nero was the emperor. And think of Caligula and some of these other Roman emperors that were around at the time of when Peter was alive. You honor all people. In other words, you give respect. You love the brotherhood. You fear God and honor the king, because we all want to be bond servants. We all want to do the will of God. But just as there was a blessing that we find that you may, it will go well with you, and that you may live long in the land, there is truly a blessing for having honor toward God and toward one another and our families. Notice John 12. John 12. And this should be very encouraging to all of us. John 12, verse 25. John 12, verse 25. He who loves his life will lose it. John 12, verse 25. He who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. So in other words, we just have to have our life dedicated to God. Now, if anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, my Father will honor. Now, that's a very encouraging blessing. If we honor our parents, we're told it will go well with us and live long in the land or live long in the earth. If we do all that God wants us to do and we serve him, we honor him and we honor our parents, our family, and those around us, God says, I will honor. And to receive the honor from God, that word there is highly valued, highly prized. We receive that from God toward us. It's just an amazing statement here that this will occur, of course, in its fullness at the time of our resurrection when we're glorified sons of God. Now, Frank Goldsmith did not understand at the time about all that God is and does and the way we do, the way we know him. But in the future, he will. And he will be loved and honored by not only God, but, you know, his dad will be coming up. I think about those who survived the Titanic and those who died in the Titanic. They're all dead now. They're all dead. And they're all awaiting the resurrection together. And so I know that in this case, Frank Goldsmith is going to be loved by his two sons as well. And honored. And it'll be a time when all these families are going to be resurrected and have these wonderful opportunities to be together and to learn this way that we're learning now. We just have to ask God to help us to do this. So no matter who we are, whether we're 3 or 4 years old, or if we're up in our 70s or 80s or even older, we need to honor God, we need to honor our families, and we need to honor one another. This is the principle of the fifth commandment, the one with promise, that all will go well with us.